felt like a lot of the songs today, I guess you notice what you're looking for. A lot of kind of things about the senses. So I love that one. Open both your eyes. Everybody open their eyes. Come on. Let's do it, guys. Come on. You know better than to just sit there. Just do that. Open up your eyes. Open up your ears. Open up your mouth. Might even get a little air out there. Yeah. Open up your hands. Open up your... Awesome. All right. So where's Amber? Amber, you said you could maybe make my phone, like, stay on the time. That might be helpful today. That'd be great. I tried to do it, couldn't do it. This happens to every speaker. You get to the last talk and you said, oh, but I didn't talk about this, and I didn't talk about that, and I didn't talk about that, and our time's coming to an end, and Mike probably feels the same thing. Oh, we didn't sing this song, we didn't sing this song, and there's so many more things. And how then to just, I don't have a password. Oh.
Auto lock, never.
There's a song in that. Auto lock, never. That was really nice of you. That means I can change it back later. Thanks. So just a couple of things. Thank you so much for inviting me. Thank you for having me. I don't know who was plotting in the universe to do that. I know a lot of my friends. I know certainly Ray and some others. And I really thank you over 2 years ago committing to coming here to be with you and even making sure that my camp didn't meet at the same time. I like said, I'm going to commit to this camp, so I'm going to make sure you guys have our other week free because I don't want to miss our camp. So we worked it. So it was a lot of things to converge. And I just thank you for not only having me, but welcoming me and for me to be able to kind of take, you know, good report back to the brethren and all the other places that I may go to that place. Check out those Winnie people. And I've met so many Winnie people and people I didn't know were Winnie people. It's kind of fun. Come visit anytime you want to be cold, which this week is kind of attractive. Up at Sugarloaf, you can let me know you're coming or not. Very rarely is the door locked. Matter of fact, it's only locked really if we're away, so it's actually probably unlocked now, so you could beat me there. When we bought the house from the people who built the house, we asked for the keys to the front door, and they said, keys? I'm like, well, you built the house. Don't you have keys to the door? Well, we never lock it. So we made them put in a new lock for the front door. We never lock it. So anyway, and it was fun to have a taste of home even while I was away. Those of you who need further incentive, how many of you actually made deposits in the coffee bank? How many of you guys had morning coffee over at the little coffee shop? That's Carabasset Coffee, in case you hadn't figured that out yet. Carabasset Valley, Carabasset Coffee, that's made like 15 minutes, 20 minutes from my house. So if you like the coffee, come on up. It was really funny when they announced it the first night. I'm like, I came all the way here. Get Carabasset Coffee. This talk this morning is in two parts. They are related, but there's obviously a theme. But there's kind of two thoughts I want to kind of bring to mind. Would you please join me? God be in my head and in my understanding. God be in my eyes and in my looking. God be in my mouth and in my speaking. God be in my heart and in my serving. God be at my end and in my departure. I have yet to share with you my favorite poem, and so I'm going to do it to now. It would have gone with any of the talks. E.E. Cummings, I thank you, God, for most this amazing. I thank you, God, for most this amazing day, for the leaping, greenly spirits of trees, and a blue, true dream of sky, and for everything, which is natural, which is infinite, which is yes. I, who have died, am alive again today, And this is the Son's birthday. This is the birthday of life and love and wings and of the gay, great happening, illimitably earth. How should tasting, touching, hearing, seeing, breathing, any lifted from the know of all nothing, human, merely being, doubt, unimaginable, you. Now the ears of my ears awake, and now the eyes of my eyes are opened. I thank you, God, for most this amazing. I'm going to read to you two very short passages from the Bible, one right before Jesus' death and one right after he rose from the dead, and listen if you can for the thread between the two. The first is from Luke 23, verse 44. Luke 23:44. See if I can do it. Okay. It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. For the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two, and Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And when he had said this, he breathed his last. And then from John, chapter 20, beginning at verse 19, John 20, 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So what is the thread between these? There's probably many, but what are some of the, what's the thread that you think of when you hear those two together?
Breathe.
Thank you. I made it a little obvious, but it's good. Breathe. Now, when I first noticed this thread and thought I was the first, thank you, when I thought I was the first person to think about this, I also then had a song, no surprise, that immediately came to my mind. I'll hum it, see if you recognize it. You got it? Every bond you break, every step I take, I'll be watching you. Right? What's the first word? Every breath you take, every move you make, every bond you break, every step you take, I'll be watching you. Of course, it ages us, because the kids in the back, of which there are a few. Do you guys ever heard that song? Yes! Extra bells for the ones you can name who did that song? Sting. Yeah, him himself. Good job. Give them extra dessert. What's funny about that song, how many people like that song? Every Breath You Take? It's really quite popular. It's kind of transcended, which is kind of fun. But what's interesting about that, when Sting's been interviewed about that, he said, you know, that song is about jealousy and about obsession with lost love and about like stalking. And so he goes, I'm always really concerned when people come up and say, "Oh, we love that song. That was like the song at our wedding." And he said, this is in a radio interview, "I think the song is very, very sinister and ugly. And people have actually misinterpreted it as being a gentle little love song, which it is quite the opposite." which I, sorry if I ruined a really good song, but it's easy to kind of misinterpret things, and we do it all the time, but I don't want you to misinterpret this. Here's the truth. Jesus was really dead. He breathed his last. Truth, Jesus gave his life. Nobody took it from him. The truth, that death has brought the opportunity for us to have life. Don't misunderstand that. Breathe, breath. Breath equals life. Breathe, breath, breathe, all those kind of derivations. Many times in the Bible. Begins right at the beginning. Well, actually close, Genesis 2. Then the Lord God formed, however you want to translate it, Adam from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the Adam became a living being. So I'm going to ask you to join me. I'm going to say this a number of times. And when I do this, I hope you do. Notice your breath. Just notice your breath. It could be said that breath equals life. On average, a person at rest takes about 16 breaths a minute. You get really bored during this talk, go start counting. For children, it's about 44 breaths a minute. Littler lungs, moving more. So, if you do the math, this means we breathe about 960 breaths an hour, so close to 1,000. Over 23,000 breaths a day, over 8 million breaths a year, unless we get a lot of exercise, and then it's obviously more. A person who lives to 80 will breathe approximately 672,768,000 breaths and change in a lifetime. So notice your breath. Take a deep breath and enjoy it. So if breath equals life, no breath equals no life. And Luke was so careful to tell us, and he breathed his last. Classic CPR technique, what is it? The ABCs. Airway, breathing, circulation. There's a reason it's in the top three. I mean, each of us have a horror story of running out of breath, right? Or feeling like you're running out of breath. If you're asthmatic, you've really had that sense. If you swim underwater, that sense of pressing against your chest or running hard or really even maybe not even running that hard. Or just someone sneaks up behind you and you get a little adrenaline rush. Are there any firefighters here among us? They can always tell great, horrific stories about running out of breath. Anyone who's had asthma or COPD or pneumonia, somebody had some ammonia going for a while, I can't remember who it was, they understand about breath. And babies are the worst when they aren't breathing, parents helpless standing in a shower stall. A lot of us have, and I don't know about you, when I was a brand new mother, I remember having like, every once in a while, you just get these really paranoid moments and you go in and look at the baby and make sure the baby was still breathing. Because, you used to have the baby inside you, and you knew where it was and what it was doing, and then it's over there. Breath. So notice your breath. Breathing is serious business. Breath equals life. No breath equals no life. I know it gets more complicated than that. In medical ethics, we're not getting into that, okay? But Jesus breathed his last. And then 3 days later, Jesus breathed his first. Jesus is alive again. And this is the crux of the Christian faith, I believe. The breath. The breath of God. For after Jesus rose from the dead, he started meeting up with friends, and what did he say? Peace be with you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So we know he was breathing again, right? Breathed his last, breathing again. Breath equals life. Notice your breath. And then a few weeks later, there was this feast called Pentecost. And God sent the Holy Spirit on a room full of believers. Just to remind you of this from Acts. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. When I read this, I always think of the big breath of God. Like, big breath. Take a big breath. When a new believer decides to follow Jesus, they receive that breath of God called the Holy Spirit, comes to dwell inside us. God's breath in us equals God's life in us. So anyway, so here's one for you. So hold your breath. Ready, take it, ready, and we're gonna hold as long as we can. All right, let's do it this way. So everybody, put a hand up. And everybody's going to take a deep breath. And when you finally have to breathe, put your hand down. This is honor system, okay? We're going to have fun here. So some of you, I know, you're already oxygenating. It's good. It's okay. We don't have all day. All right? Ready. Take a deep breath. Ready, go. I'm going to keep talking, but you keep holding it out. So the amazing, powerful thing about breath is what happens after the breath. To say I am a Christian is not to sign your name to a bunch of propositional statements. To be a Christian is to allow the breath of God to fill you and change you and give you life with every breath you take. I am not a very good Christian, by the way. I get jealous. You're doing great. I get jealous. I like my stuff. I'm selfish. I've already confessed. I am not great at hospitality. I read too much bad fiction. This is good. Let me know when it can all come down. I hold on too tightly to things God says to let go of. I am stingy with my resources for the good of others. I get afraid. I am not a very good Christian. But chances are, you are not a very good Christian either. See, I'm just filling time because we're all really just watching you. But I can breathe, and you can breathe. Shall we watch them? Donna's still going! All right, so the point of that, though, is after you, like, couldn't hold your breath anymore, what did you do?
Breathe.
You breathe, exactly. It's amazing. And that in itself is an incredible metaphor. Because we have to let go of something in order to grab something else. We have to let go of that last breath to take hold of the new breath. We have to let go of the old to take in the new. And so breath itself is a metaphor of our life in God. We have to let go sometimes of the old things to receive the new life. Or as it said, you can't eat old manna. I may not be everything I want to be in my spiritual life, but I can breathe, and you can breathe. And we can take in God. I have a video that I would like to show. It's about 3 minutes, and it's beautiful, and I think it'll actually go well with the blessing service today, and then I have just a few remarks after that. So this is one of my absolute favorite videos and favorite songs. So breathe. Oh, and your cursor's at the bottom, in the center. Now it's on the left. Now it's behind my head. Anyway, you can, I'm surprised since I own it. We're not streaming it, so that's kind of odd. And I own it, and it's on the thing. So, we'll skip it. The song is called Breathe. It's by The Brilliance. It's an amazing song, and it's actually a really cool video. But that's the problem with technology. But you know, I just got back 3 minutes. It's okay. If Jesus were a scent, he would smell like blank. Because if Jesus were a scent, he would smell like blank. Because, think about that for a minute. And what I'm going to do, because now we're moving from breath, obviously, now to scent. This is our last thing. And I'm going to be passing around some things that smell. I'm going to just try it a couple in different places. And there are people that have allergies. That's why I didn't just, like, diffuse through the whole planet. But enjoy them, see what they make you think of. All right. And while you do that, somebody can collect maybe Shell at the end. They can all funnel to her or Earl. I'll get them back. So here, you had a chance to think about it. If Jesus were a scent, or if Jesus smelled, but I didn't want to put it like that. If Jesus were a scent, he would be blank because. Yes, Jonathan. He would smell like a flower because he's the Rose of Sharon. There is rose coming around. Nice. Elvie. He would smell like pine needles because that's what Winnie smells like. Yeah, excellent. Got any more? These are hard. Yeah, Earl. He would smell fresh because he makes all things new. Yeah, Jay. Okay, he would smell like incense because he is an offering to God. I love it. Smells like rain because he brings life. Water. Smells like rain because he showers us. Did I hear that right? Oh. Smells like wine because he's wine. Awesome. Got lost in that. It's okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Over there.
He smells like bread.
Right. He smells like bread because he's the bread of life. I have a friend, a pastor friend, who borrowed like 6 or 7 bread machines, and as people arrived in church that morning, the bread was cooking. I guess it was pretty cool. Let me try that. Say that again. Oh, night blooming jasmine because he brings light into darkness. Sharon, is that you in the back?
Yeah. He smells like lanolin because he's a good shepherd.
Oh, that was a thing. He smells like lanolin because he's a good shepherd. All right, I have 5 minutes here. This is awesome. So you know how this game is played. Scent is one of the hardest things to talk about, and particularly in terms of our prayer life and going deeper out with God, but I was going to take a good stab at it. Has anybody ever heard of smell-o-vision? Yeah, Jack, you're at the right time frame. All right, you guys you want to hear this, okay? Smell-o-vision. It was the idea of releasing odor during a film so viewers could smell the movie. There was only one film made in 1960 called The Scent of Mystery. You can read why it kind of ran into problems. I'll get to that in a minute. Walt Disney actually explored with the idea of scents for his 1940 movie Fantasia. Technical problems and cost reasons kind of stopped him from pursuing that. After Smell-O-Vision, there was something called Smell-O-Rama, not to be confused with Smell-O-Vision. And this was a project of GE in the early 50s, in which they would project three-dimensional objects. The one they were working on was projecting a three-dimensional rose that came with its own scent. Again, kind of ran into technical problems. One of the more famous ones, if there could be a famous one, is a Ramarama. I'll say that again because it was so much fun. Aromarama. Aromarama, that's it. You want to try that with me? Aromarama, which was a 1959 film called Behind the Great Wall, which was a travelogue of China. And you'd go to the movie theater, and there were over 100 scents that were released during the course of the movie, injected into the movie. The reviews were not favorable. There were complaints that those in the balcony got no scent, those on the sides got the scent too late for the picture, and that there were people sniffing very loudly to try and get the scent. So the movie stunk, but I'm bummed. Thank you, Jonathan. It got slightly better when they discovered they could put the stuff through the air conditioning vents, which... It was all actually in an effort to keep people at the movie theater. It was trying to take it to the next level because people were staying at home and watching TV. And so they said, well, what can we add to this? What sensorily can we add to this to keep people at the movie theater? Though technically a success in the end with the air conditioning vents, it was not terribly popular. In 1982, this is where I come into it, there was a kind of a... I'm trying to think of a good pun, but I can't... Jonathan could do that, you know, kind of a revamp, a reawakening of this called, in a movie called Polyester. Does anybody remember seeing Polyester? Amber's too young to know this, but somehow she knows it. When you went to the movie theater, they give you a scratch and sniff card. And I saw this. I mean, I remember this very vividly. No surprise that I would have saw it. So you're watching the movie, and then like down on the bottom right-hand corner, a number would flash. And when the number flashed, that's when you were supposed to scratch that number and sniff it. So it was much more low-tech, but much more personal delivery system. Which, and it was only like 10 cents or 12. But and it was great, except scents can really mess with you. So I clearly remember the main character walking down the sidewalk, and there was this huge kind of... you know, beach rose hedge, just, you know, beautiful beach roses, and you're, and the number flashes, and you scratch it, and you're ready for roses, and you, Judy knows where it's going, and you smell dog poo, because then it was a delayed, and then just as the character walked around the corner, then there was this big thing of dog poo, so it would really mess with you. Again, kind of a poopy film, did not go. Right now, they are working, people are working right now on digital scent technology to sense, transmit, and receive scent-enabled digital media. I don't know if anybody's experienced this yet. You kind of have to have a little device on your computer that will allow this, but they're working hard on this, particularly those who in the gaming field, gaming and movies and music, but particularly in gaming, which kind of makes sense. That's okay. I need to wrap up for rhythms, for blessing. Why did this not take off? It makes sense. Oh, I hadn't even walked into that. That's great. Or not. Of all the senses, I know there's too many places, of all the senses, and we've been looking at them this week, my understanding is that your sense of smell does really not need to be processed by your brain very much. Like if you see something, your mind has to make sense of it. But with smells, it goes straight to your limbic system. It's like the earliest memories that you have, actually you don't even know you have them, are actually sent memories. And so they are incredibly deep, incredibly personal, and incredibly private. When you breathe, you smell. And so we do it all the time. So part of what we've done in order to survive is we have desensitized ourselves to a sense of smell, because you are breathing how many times an hour? Imagine if you smelled all the time, all those things. It's pretty much overwhelming. But it's interesting that Jesus' story starts with smell. Smell of newborn baby. You know the newborn baby smell, right? That's a wonderful smell. Can you imagine that Jesus had a newborn baby smell? Of course, it was intermingled with the smelly animal cave smell. And then the Jesus story ends with smell. The smell of Calvary. And a very different cave. The smell of burial cloths, perfumed. Directly connected to the brain without intermediary, right to your limbic system. And there's something that happens called anamnesis, which is a memory of what you did not know you knew. And it gets triggered with scent. I dare you, to play with this last faculty that we often forget about, that we totally undervalue. Has people have a chance to have some of these things go through around? Actually, that whole air itself has kind of changed. I apologize for people who are very allergic. If you have to leave, you can do that. But there's a bunch of different scents, and I'm just going to ask, did anybody get reminded of anything? You might want to identify what you smelled and where it might have reminded you of something. Because they're memory triggers. Scent is memory trigger more than anything else. Yeah, Helen. Spruce. It was wintergreen. Yeah, yeah. That's the closest I could get to Winnie. Did it remind you of anything?
Yeah, the Maine woods.
The Maine woods. Any other scents that people kind of got a little trigger on? A little happy scents. Happy smell. I kind of threw them on you, so. Yes! Those little scent pills. And that was actually a rose. There was a rose and balsam in that, which I thought was... You spray it on your pillow to help you sleep. If you haven't got it, you get it. If you doubt the power of smell, I'm going to tell you one story, and then I'm going to give you a couple of things to take home with you and try, and we'll be done. this sounds odd, but male gorillas in captivity tend to kill the new baby gorillas. Kind of odd. Male gorillas in captivity tend to kill off the baby gorillas, so they have found that they have to keep the male and female gorillas separated. Well, this was happening in America at a really problematic rate, except in one dinky little zoo. I think it was in the Chicago area. And in that particular zoo, the male gorillas did not go after the newborns. As a matter of fact, they protected the newborns and they nurtured them. They would actually pick them up and hold them. Now, as you can imagine, those of you in the science field or biology field, that was fascinating to people. I mean, an anomaly always catches people's attention. So they were trying to figure out, why don't these male gorillas attack the newborn the way every other gorilla does in captivity in America? And what they discovered in this dinky little zoo was, it wasn't a fancy zoo. And all that separated the male gorillas and the female gorillas was a chain link fence. So when the female gorillas were giving birth, the males could smell that. And the smell of the amniotic fluid triggered some kind of nurturing response in the male gorillas. Now if that's happening for gorillas, it's happening for us. And scent is a powerful way for us to connect with the divine. We light candles when we pray. We have incense. There's all kinds of things. You can do a great Bible study. There's lots of stories in the Bible that involve spices, cinnamon, Rose of Sharon, Lily of the Valley. There are lots of senses in there. You could just try having one of those senses for your prayer group. Just allow that to happen and say, what does that trigger? There's all kinds of things. It's fairly nebulous, but I think that it's actually pretty powerful. I want to read one quote for you, and then I'm done. I was trying to think of some deep personal story about smelling things. I was getting a block, so. Oh, no, I did have one. Should have known. This says it better than what I just said. Odor is linked with memory because, unlike the other four senses, sense bypasses the conscious brain and appeals directly to the limbic system, whereas the other senses register impressions that travel first to the rational brain centers and then arrive at the emotional matrices. There is a direct connection between smells and emotions. So you can't really cheat with smell the way you can with sight. Did I tell you about my AT hikers? Okay, so I'll finish the story. So I live on the AT, on the Appalachian Trail. It goes over the back of Sugarloaf. So particularly at this time of year, there are a lot of people thumbing on the side of the road with heavy backpacks that look like they've been in the woods a long time, which they have. And they, since like the Carolinas, so they've been in the woods for a long time. And so they smell. I mean, they really smell. Matter of fact, they stinketh, I think is the King James version. And we decided when we were, we would pick folks up. Earl and I decided we would pick these hikers up. You can tell that they're through hikers, and they just want to get to the town that's north of us. There's a mail drop, and there's a motel that will take them in and allow them to clean up, whatever. So we would pick them up, and the kids would hate it because they stinketh. So we would go to carrying, like, tarps and things in the car so you could put them down on the seat so you totally wouldn't ruin, because if you have upholstered seats, like, you just can't get the smell out. So, and if you, I am serious, if you doubt that, you have not hiked long enough. I mean, it gets in the pack, it gets in everything. And the oil, everything. So, and we would do it kind of as a, you know, a spiritual, like, you need to do this. I know, it's putting ourselves out of the way, but you need to do this. And so, now that Sam is 19 and does a fair amount of hitchhiking himself when he goes whitewater kayaking, because, you know, you put in at one place and you get out at another place, and then it comes, he's got to get. So now that he's on that end, he's like, Mom, you have to pick them up. And even when he's not with me, I have to pick them up. So I picked up a couple the other day, Sky and Dribbles. And they stinketh. And I, that scent is with me, and that scent, taint me. I mean, all I do is catch a whiff of it, and you go, yeah, that's the AT hiker whiff. But to turn that into prayer, and to pray for them, and to remember to pray for them. So I picked up Sky and Dribbles the other day, and they had missed some trail time because it was a mother and a son. Did I tell you this? Mother and a son, they were from Kauai. And she said it like I'm supposed to know where Kauai is. I'm like, well, I'm from Carabasset, but when I'm in Hawaii, I don't expect people to know that. But anyway, so they're from Hawaii, and they only had time to hike a portion, so she kind of looked at the map. This is a mother and a 15-year-old son. She says, well, I only didn't have time to do much, so we kind of looked at the map, and we decided we wanted to hike it. We wanted to do Katahdin. We wanted to do the end, so we figured out how much it is. So they started at Franconia Notch. Now, for those of you who are not from around here, that doesn't mean anything. For those of you who are, like, what insane person would start, like, basically going up Mount Washington? So anyway, so the poor guy, poor 15-year-old got giardia, sick as a dog. And so now they've been off the trail for a couple days. They have to make it up. And I picked them up. And it was so sweet. Who would think that the smell of AT hikers would be sweet? And when I got them off to the trail, I was not sure. I gave them my phone number, so she goes, I'll text you a photo when we get to the top. And I'm thinking, you guys are not going to make it. I felt kind of bad because, I mean, the poor boy, he's barely conscious, and his mom's plodding him through. Like, she's like, she looked a little like Tanya. She was small and had pigtails, and she was like, let's go! And he's like, as most 15-year-old boys are with their mom, oh, my God. So she's like basically taking him by the hand. They get out of the car, and I'm like, should I bring them home for the night? No, they have to. And he's like just kind of, I'm like, they'll never make it. But they got out of the car, and I said, can I pray for you? And I just get a little, it's New England after all. You get a little uptight. I said, can I pray for you? And I prayed for them, and I made a point to breathe in their scent. And I just, like yesterday, the day before, I just got a text of a photo, and they're on the top of Katahdin. They made it. Scents are powerful, and I just invite you to, that's like the last crazy CFO thing. If it couldn't get any crazier, just start breathing people. Breathing them in and breathing their scents. And not a very spiritual ending. Last night was my big finish. So when you go down off this hill, take a good whiff. or we can play with those funds. Thank you very much. The more powerful thing is the blessing service that's going to happen, and you don't want to miss that blessing. And I don't think she'll have you smell each other. But you will have an odor by the time you are finished with rhythms. Thank you very much. Thank you, everybody.